Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
No one loves you like your mom.
My mama always used to say to me,
give your mommy a kissy.
Whoa, mama.
Hello, mother.
Mommy!
Well, word to your mother.
Celebrating mothers and mother figures everywhere. It's Bob and Sherry.
And welcome to the Bob and Sherry Show. I hate to bring sad news to start off the day, but we really must celebrate the life of and the talent of a guy who I think a lot of people would know his name, but a lot of people will not know his name. You probably know the sounds he created. However, Duane Eddy, who was a pioneering rock and roll guitarist, died at the age of 86. And this may be not his biggest hit, but the song that most people know, the theme from Peter Gunn. So you hear him playing guitar, and he had a very distinctive style. It was called the twangy guitar. His notes just seemed to have a low octave twang to them that was very distinctive. His biggest hit was a song called Rebel Rouser. I think it went to number one. And it's hard to get a song to go to number one if it's an instrumental. But he was able to do it, and he had something like 40 albums over the years. George Harrison just loved his work. And I remember seeing him interviewed by Dick Clark once. And Dick Clark said after the interview that he was one of the most shy performers that he had ever seen. And when he would have him on his American Bandstand show, Duane Eddy would be so nervous that Dick knew he had to carry the interview. And so he would do softball questions. He was just frightened of performing on television and sometimes in person, but he overcame it and became a legend and was really the first rock god. You know, there's so many of them that, you know, the term is thrown around a lot today. He was the first guy to really be a rock god, an instrumentalist, never sang one note. And he would appear on TV, and of course, it's just him with a guitar for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. There's no moving around, there's no singing, it's just him with the guitar. And it was a tough act. And he'd go on tour with a bunch of other artists, and they're singing, they say, now on the tour, here's Duane Eddy. And he comes out there and just plays his, battery of hits. So a really, really interesting, sweet man. You never heard anything bad about him. And he's going to be missed. And by the way, he is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Where he belongs. I mean, I don't know a lot other than this song. Honestly, embarrassingly, I don't know a lot about Duane Eddy's career. But this is like, I think this is in everybody's DNA one way or the other, right? You've heard it your whole life.
Yeah. It was a TV show, I think back in the 1950s, a TV detective show. Henry Mancini actually wrote the music to it. And it was recorded by several artists, among them Duane Eddy. But Rebel Rouser was the one that he had that was a number one hit. And again, instrumentals, you know, not just Duane Eddy, but instrumentals becoming big hits are very rare. They're almost considered to be novelties.
It's non-existent, you know, these days. I mean, it's absolutely non-existent. I don't there has been an instrumental that's been a hit for 30 plus years.
Yeah, even now, to buttress what you just said, was it you, Max, who told me that producers of songs now get to the vocal very quickly in order to hook the listener in, whereas you used to have, you know, intros that might go 25 seconds, and that I never thought about this until you told me this, that they want the singers singing the song within a few seconds to get the hook. Oh, here it is. Rebel Rouser. Great artist, Wayne Eddy. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get to BobandSherry.com to nominate a teacher and help us send them on a vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort from Visit Florida. It's spring, you know, it's still spring. And I saw a quote about spring the other day that was just perfect. And when I read this quote, I said, that's a person who really is a terrific writer to be able to put that in such a succinct way. And the words were, spring is a time where it's summer in the sun and it's winter in the shade. And it is true that if you're in the sun in spring, and you know who said that? Charles Dickens from Great Expectations. If you get, all of a sudden you hit the shade, it's like, whoa. Temperature just dropped about 10 degrees right there. What's going on? And you don't get that so much because of the humidity during the summer. I just love spring and I love fall. And I noticed where I live, it's going to be 94 degrees one day next week. 94. So spring, I tell you what, it can break your heart. But it's such a wonderful time of the year. You know, one of my favorite smells, I think I've talked about this before, is in early spring, the smell of fertilizer that people put on their lawns, and then water hits it, and it's just such a tangy, tangy, wonderful smell that when I smell it, it's just like, oh man, I'm 12 years old again.
I love the smell of spring. Everything growing and that fresh cut grass smell. Now, I can't often smell it because I'm allergic to everything that's growing, including that fresh-cut grass.
Well, can I ask you something? Tell me if you think this is true or not. I always thought that pollen in the air would be just about the same every year. Yeah, there are a few more trees maybe, but there are also trees that are taken down. I have been just absolutely miserable in my eyes and my throat with pollen this year. Am I imagining that
rain.
This is...
Haven't had enough rain.
That's is that
yeah,
what
no,
it is?
It's, yeah. You're not it's imagining it.
Yeah. Bob, I hear people saying that.
Yeah. I want to get back to this tang. What fertilizer and the water hits it and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
We had about 30 cows, and I spent a lot of time with them cows. And a lot of times I would take a deep breath. But the word tang never entered my mind. It's the tang. I'm sorry. The tang. Oh, the tang. No. It's two words that entered my mind, but it wasn't tang, okay? Oh, God.
Do you know, Lamar, I read a thing the other day that there is a company that is canning cow manure, and you can send it to a friend who lives in the city so that they can get a little feel for what life is like in the country, and people are buying it and giving it as gifts.
Oh, God. Listen, you missed out. When I was a kid, if I could have canned that stuff, we would have been in good shape because the overhead was low. The overhead
very
was
low.
Absolutely low.
Very low, yeah. That's right. And country people know how to can, right? So you could have made some money on that.
Of course, you know, we had a cannery in town, and if I'd have went in to can that, the people behind me would not be happy. So, you know, that's
no, they would not. No, yeah, that's right.
Do you have like a specific random spring memory that has nothing to do with anything special or important, but for some reason it just sticks in your head? Because I do. It was my junior year in high school, and I worked on the stage crew for the school theater department. I didn't want to be in the play, but I loved all of the like technical stuff, right? So I was on the crew. We made sets and we did lighting and it was so fun. And we put on a big musical, like, you know, the standard musicals that high schools put on, Bye Bye Birdie and Grease and that sort of stuff. So we did that every spring. And we were at play practice every night for like a month before the play opened. And I came home from play practice and I took the bus home and then had to walk about a mile to get to my grandmom's house. And it was that blue twilight that you get in the spring. It's not dark. It's not light. It's that transitory blue twilight. And you hear crickets and frogs and the grass smells so fresh and green. And the air is cool, but not cold. And I remember walking home in that and being so present in that moment that I can close my eyes and go right back there. Nothing happened. Yeah. There's no big dramatic end. It's just that random spring thing. And when it's this time of the year, that's the memory that comes flooding back.
Well, you're blessed to have that, for sure.
I think so, yeah. We got morons in the news next. We got a Swifty grandma that did not appreciate someone interrupting her watching of the Eras Tour movie. And do not be late for work, because it's worth it. That's next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
A New Mexico grandmother was sitting with her four-year-old granddaughter, and they're watching the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, the film, and they're just having a great time. And all of a sudden, a guy that had stolen a car and was running from the police pulls up at their house, and he comes running in to their room, and we have a 911 call and everything about it. Listen to this.
A home invader targets a house, but he's about to find out he's definitely picked the wrong home.
I have a gun! Get back! Get back! I will...
You do what you have to do to protect yourself and your family.
Anissa Tinnen says she and her four-year-old granddaughter were watching the Taylor Swift Eras movie when the nightmare began. Out of nowhere, she says, the intruder appeared in the dining room of her Albuquerque home.
He told me that he would kill myself and my granddaughter if I didn't do what he wanted me to do.
Cops say the intruder was fleeing police after crashing a stolen vehicle. Once inside the house, he grabbed some car keys out of a bowl and ran out. 49-year-old Anissa called 911. You can hear her trying to comfort her distraught granddaughter.
I need you to be really brave, okay? It's okay, baby. I know, honey. I know. It's okay. It's okay.
Suddenly, the intruder storms back to the house. Only by now, Anissa has grabbed her gun. She tries to warn him.
Get back! Get back! I have a gun! Get back! Get back! I will...
What did you do?
No! Because you're in my...
Is there any question in your mind that this man was going to hurt or kill both you and your granddaughter?
There was no question.
Where did the bullet hit him? Do you know?
In the abdomen.
I will get you water, but if you hurt me, I'm going to shoot you again. You hear me?
I had to hold him at gunpoint. This man is bleeding on my kitchen floor.
Oh, God, this is not happening. Where are the police?
Albuquerque police.
They're right there. You can see them swarming into the house. They haul the screaming suspect out of there. We also spoke to the little girl's tearful mom, Megan Austin.
If Anissa had not done what she did, we'd be telling a different story right now.
I would have given everything I had, including my life, to do what I had to do to protect my granddaughter.
I have a gun! Get back!
The suspect survived. He'll be charged with burglary and auto theft.
My goodness, I have never heard a news report like that. Well, what a woman.
You know, here's the stupid part. He came in, he got her keys, and there's outside cameras. When you look at the clip, you can see him come in, you can see him run out, and he gets to the car. He's going to take her car, and then he changes his mind, and then all he had to do was leave. She gave him the opportunity, all he had to do was leave, and he rolls back up in there. And that was the end of that deal. I mean, you know, come on. You can't come back. You can't come back. And
I loved when he was screaming, I can't believe this is happening. Sir, you broke into someone's home.
Yes, you
exactly.
did.
Is this really a place for a lot of surprise? Like, I think that a lot of times the people who do what he did, they're just so impulsive. There's no thinking. There's no plan.
You're right.
There's no expectation of consequences.
You're
but you
exactly
let me
right.
tell you what, as a Swiftie, I'm watching the Eras movie. Do not even think of interrupting me.
I get it.
She's just started all too well. Go get Meemaw's gun. Yeah, you do not break into people's home.
And he's bleeding all over her kitchen floor. And then wanting water. You mean to make you a sandwich while we wait on the police? What are we doing here?
She went and brought him water. She was...
Yeah.
you know what?
Swifties
you know what
are
that's
the best
called?
People.
Do you know what that's called? That is the ultimate woman multitasking. The woman is holding her granddaughter, comforting the granddaughter, calling 911, getting the cops there, talking to the perpetrator, shooting the perpetrator, and then bringing them water. That, my friends, is multitasking.
We have to do everything.
You're thinking, you know, bespectacled, gray-haired grandmother with hair in a bun. This woman is hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Swifties are the best people.
They are. Okay. And they're good shots, too. They're good shots.
This is how you know.
Hit the target.
Yeah, this is how you know when a Swiftie drew down on you. They shoot you, call 911, and get you a bevy. That's how you know. That is Morons in the News. We'll get that posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. People's Movie Critic coming up. He went to a scary movie all by his own bad self. He's going to review Abigail. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
When the Philadelphia Phillies would not let Joey Henney bring his emotional support alligator, Wally, into a game last year, we covered it here on the Bob and Sherry Show. Well, we need your help now because Joey Henney took Wally, the emotional support gator, on vacation with him last month in Brunswick, Georgia. Now, we have listeners in Brunswick. It's about, I don't know, 60 or 70 miles or so south of Savannah. And he said that pranksters left Wally outside and someone called 911 and they sent Fish and Game and they trapped Wally the support gator and they've released him back into the wild.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Now here's the problem. Wally's been a pet. Now I assume that Wally's instincts will kick in and that he'll be okay in the wild, but Joey is absolutely devastated.
Oh,
he's all over social media and he said he never tried to bite no one, never hurt anybody. He helped me with my depression. He said my doctor endorsed Wally as my emotional support animal. I am desperate to get him back. We need all the help we can to bring Wally back. So to all of our listeners in that part of the world, I think Wally wears a collar, but I'm guessing that Fish and Game took it off of him before they released him back into the wild. And I'll be honest, guys, I'm not optimistic. There's an awful lot of gators in that part of the world. You know,
if you see a gator, call Wally. If he looks, that's him.
Yeah, I don't know how we're getting Wally back.
Cross
your fingers
thing.
For Joey.
I'm crossing my fingers, but don't you think it's just completely nuts to have an alligator as a pet? I mean, good Lord.
If you could see the photographs of Joey and Wally hugging each other, Wally was about 5.5 feet long. So he was not a huge gator, but
he's
plenty
big.
It's not a
big gator, no.
Yeah. So thoughts and prayers going out to Joey Henney and somehow Wally Gator. Now, Wally, who's lived in a house in Pennsylvania his whole life, is probably like, where's dinner? He's probably tripping out in the wilderness.
Can somebody bring
me a chicken? If there's any way to reunite this man with his emotional support alligator, may the universe make it happen. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
The People's Movie Critics Review is sponsored by Dr. Marty's, drmartypets.com/Bob.
It is time now for The People's Movie Critic. And believe it or not, he voluntarily went to a scary movie. And today he reviews Abigail. Take it away, Lamar.
You know, as regular listeners know, I don't really like horror movies, especially ones that involve children being terrorized and things like that. Now, if you have watched the trailer for Abigail, you know that that is far from the case. If you have not watched the trailer and you have no idea about the plot and you still plan on seeing the movie, stop listening, stop reading, stop. Okay? If you're going and you don't know, it'll be awesome. For everyone who has seen the trailer, you can proceed. Because the trailer shows you some different stuff that, you know, about the movie. The movie opens with a gang of six operatives pulling this well-planned kidnapping of a young ballerina named Abigail, and she's played by Alicia Ware. To keep the bad guys from knowing the personal details of each other, they use Rat Pack names from the Sinatra days. Frank, the leader, is played by Dan Stevens. The medical expert is played by Melissa Barrera. She goes by Joey. The dull-brained muscle guy, Peter, is played by Kevin Durand. The spastic pothead driver called Dean is played by the late Angus Cloud. Sammy the computer whiz is played by Catherine Newton. And the ex-military operative is played by William Catlett, and he goes by Rickles. Now, the group is working for a mysterious guy named Lambert, who is played by the always great Giancarlo Esposito, who played... He played Gus Fring in Breaking Bad. He is always great. He's always great. Now, they're supposed to split $55 million ransom as long as the gang can get the girl, keep the girl safe and quiet for the next 24 hours. By all appearances, little Abigail is trapped inside a spooky mansion with six hardened criminals. After mysterious injuries to a couple of the gang members and all the doors and windows automatically are sealed shut, it turns out that the six unlucky kidnappers are trapped inside with Abigail, who turns out to be a very hungry vampire. This is the kind of horror movie I can get behind. Because it turns out the child is the one doing the terrorizing. The movie is gloriously bloody with excessive violence and just the right amount of well-placed humor. Some of the jokes, the lines, and the situations are laugh-out-loud funny, but at the same time, it's a terrorizing horror movie. The movie is an hour and 49 minutes. It's rated R for strong bloody violence, gore, and drug use. Alicia Ware's vampire is the standout in this movie. She is playing a part as far as she can get from Matilda that she played in Matilda the Musical. I mean, it's ridiculously. She steals every scene. Melissa Barrera's Joey is the gang member that you pull for in the movie because you always got to have somebody you're pulling for. Everybody else does a really good job of playing their parts. Now, there are many plot holes, and just like all vampire movies, they have their own set of rules that they don't mind breaking. As in all horror movies, good decision making goes out the window. But the sign of a good movie is you're having such a good time watching it that you don't mind any of that. It's just fun, and that's what Abigail is. It's fun. Horror movies, they are not my thing. But I had a great time watching this. My score on this is 4 solid buds. Wow. It was a lot of fun. It was great. It was great. It was well written and just, like I say, had just the right amount of fun in it. It was good. It was really good.
And this is a movie theater movie, right? This is not on a streaming platform yet. The movie theater movie.
Yeah.
4 buds.
Yeah.
You know what? If 4 buds from Lamar for a scary movie is a 12-pack from any other critic, I swear.
Yeah, it is really good.
Awesome.
It was really good. Yeah.
All right, y'all. 4 buds for Abigail. We've got comedian Andy Woodhull coming up. We got your Zippy Zodiac a little later in the show. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
So Lamar just reviewed Abigail, which... Well, can you give just a really quick plot summary for people that missed the review?
Yes. 6 criminals kidnap a little ballerina girl, take her back to this old mansion-type place to hold her for $55 million worth of ransom. They just have to keep her there for 24 hours. So now she's their victim. But once they get in there, it turns out that she is a vampire and they are her victims. So it completely switches. Oh, yeah. So and it's bloody.
Well, it's a vampire. I mean, blood is like the whole game. Hard to have a vampire without some blood, right?
There's so much underlying humor. I mean, it's dark humor, but it's very funny. It hits. It's just a fun movie. I don't like horror movies, but this was fun.
Yeah, I went
because I saw it and I'm like, you know what, I want to go see that, and I was not disappointed. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I've been sitting here in the break thinking about this, and I just don't know that it gets much scarier than a child vampire. I want you to think back to Kirsten Dunst's character in Interview with a Vampire. So she's in there with Tom Cruise, and who was the other star of Interview with a Vampire? Because she's the only thing I remember in the movie.
No, she was, those,
Oh, those blonde ringlets, that blue, like, dress, that cherub's face, and a ravenous undead demon behind that perfect little girl mask. Because if you think about it, right, here's the problem with a child vampire. You get an adult vampire. Let's say you get a good, solid, middle-aged adult vampire. They had a lot of life before they became a vampire. A lot of life experience.
Oh, yeah. Love. Centuries old. They're centuries old.
Yes. Brad Pitt, Brad Pitt and Christian Slater, Antonio Banderas were in that.
Thank you. So, like, they've had before they became a vampire, they had love and they had loss, and they grew up. They went through puberty. Like, they had some human life experience. Then they became a giant undead vampire. You take a little kid and turn them into a vampire, and it's like a perfect predator killing machine. Because they're kind of, they never had any of that part where they sort of grew up and figured out consequences and morality and all of that. You just got you a little bloodthirsty predator.
In this movie, her teeth, they weren't fangs. They developed her teeth. Her teeth are like shark's teeth, where each tooth has a tooth behind it. And that's how they formed her teeth. So when she was, you know, when the character was the vampire, those teeth were unbelievably terrifying, and the girl, Alicia Weir that played her, she in her own mind she had two different characters. She had Abby, the child ballerina, and she had Abigail, the centuries old vampire. And in her head, she played both of those like completely different characters, and it was It was really creepy. And one of the things I found interesting, I read that the reason they made Abigail a ballerina was the guy that wrote this, Stephen Shields, he was the writer, he's terrified of ballerinas his whole life. He's always been terrified. He said, because I think anybody that can stand on their tiptoes and do stuff like that, there's just something wrong. It's a different kind of deal. There's something evil and something wrong that you can do that. And he said, I always said if I made a movie about a vampire, she would be a ballerina covered in blood. And that's what he did.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because I think of a ballerina as being the most, of course, people don't realize that ballet dancers are among the strongest athletes on the planet, right?
But what
they portray is so graceful and fragile and delicate. Yes. But their bodies are made of steel. So that for me, that contrast between the delicate ballerina and the ancient bloodthirsty predator. Well, I'm a dance mom, so of course that resonated.
Yeah. Well, Melissa that plays this, they discovered when they were doing the movie, she was such a great little dancer. They added dance numbers in because she did such a good job with it. So as she's a vampire, she's dancing while she's trying to kill people. I mean, because she was very good at it. And it just, you know, it was a great movie. It really was.
I mean, you've just sold me on my weekend. And People's Movie Critic gave it 4 buds. We'll post that review up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Straight ahead, Everyone Needs a Laugh with comedian Andy Woodhull. Plus, how you should be spending your day. How much sleeping? How much sitting? How much standing? I don't think any of us are getting this one right. It's all coming up for your Friday. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Andy Woodhull.
So I didn't know if I was going to be ready for all this responsibility in my life, and then something happened, and I knew if we could make it through that, we could make it through anything as a couple. And here's the secret. If there's any single moms here tonight, if you want to know if your boyfriend's ready to marry you, all you have to do is do what my wife did and have your kids give your boyfriend lice. That's how you know it's real. She called me up and she said, you might have lice. I wish you would have been calling to tell me that I had an STD. At least then I could go to the doctor and get some medicine. I don't know even what to do about lice. Do I have to find an elementary school to get tested at? Do I have to bust into a front office and be like, somebody get me a school nurse, stat. Have her check me for scoliosis while she's at it. It's been a while since my last checkup. Does this elementary school take Obamacare? That's what I'm working with. We got the gold package. We went all in, full subsidy. Who knows what happens to our taxes? Here's what I really had to do. I had to call my friend who's on the road with me and say, hey man, would you come over to my hotel room for a minute? And he said, what for? And I said, well, I was hoping that you would comb my hair for a while. You would really carefully comb my hair, maybe pick through it with a number two pencil if you have one handy. And then when you're done, I'd like for you to shampoo me. Would you mind lathering me up, friend? It says on the bottle of the lice shampoo that you shouldn't apply it to yourself. It says that on the bottle. How many of you think that you have a friend that would be a good enough friend that would come over and shampoo the parasites out of your hair? I can tell you from experience that I have zero friends that are that good of a friend. All my friends are like, hey man, can I just look at your d- let you know if it looks weird or something? So we had lice together, and now we couldn't be more in love, you know? We've been married over a year, and we've only had one real fight. Here's what it was. I was unpacking my boxes after we moved in together, and my wife saw me, and she goes, what are you doing with those dishes? You bought those dishes when you were living with another woman, and I don't want another woman's dishes in my home. And I understand where she's coming from. But before you decide that she's right and I'm wrong, I'd like to remind you that my wife has two daughters. I don't think that I'm being unreasonable, am I? I'm just trying to point out that you didn't show up for the party empty-handed yourself. That's all I'm trying to say. If you want to get into specifics, I'd like to point out that my dishes don't kind of look like my ex-girlfriend. My dishes don't go over to Mac's girlfriend's house every other weekend and then come home and tell us how much they wish they lived in her cabinets. The kids make me laugh a ton. My two little girls, I love them so much. They make me laugh constantly. The younger one had a cold, so we gave her a little NyQuil. And she came in our room about an hour later and she said, Mommy, my imagination is scaring me. That means the NyQuil is working perfectly. Do you know how tough it is to catch a buzz off NyQuil and not fall asleep? You've achieved something at 10 that I struggle to do as a grown man. I'm gonna do a couple shots myself, see if I can't go on this journey with you. Tell me again how many unicorns were hunting the fairy princess. I'm gonna saddle up, get my magic bow and arrow, meet you in the enchanted forest. This is a daddy-daughter event right now. You do have to be careful what you laugh at, though, around kids. That's something that I've learned the hard way. You be careful what you laugh at around kids. Kids love to make you laugh, and they have zero integrity about coming up with new material. They find something that works, and they run it into the ground. The biggest one in our house is farting. I wish I wouldn't laugh the first time I heard them fart out loud. And I was not prepared for the sound of a little girl fart. I thought a little girl fart would be sweet. I really did. I thought it would be like a kazoo or something, or a slide whistle. I thought it would be a whimsical noise. And that is not the reality of that situation. These two little girls fart like my grandpa farted when he was in the nursing home and didn't even know that he was farting anymore. Just gas would escape from his body and then the sound and the vibration would startle him. He would go, oh God, what was that? Are we back in the war right now? I smell sulfur, there must be incoming. These little girls fart with no inhibitions. I was carrying one of them over my shoulder once. And she let one rip in my face. Can you visualize how close my face was to ground zero? My eyes started to water. My hair was blowing like I was on a sexy photo shoot. And she was just laughing. I got you. Okay, you did. I'm a little proud of you right now. A little proud. I'm also jealous that I will never get anyone as good as you just got me. I wish that I could, but dudes aren't picking me up over their shoulders anymore. If somebody pick me up after the show tonight, I got a big surprise for you.
That is Andy Woodhull, and we will post him up at bobandsheri.com, where you can also find the People's Movie Critic if you missed his review a little bit earlier in today's show. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
A gun store in Maine has a new employee. It's a baby cow. The calf named Cade is now the shop pet of AG Shooting, a gun store in Fairfield, Maine. Now, Cade's backstory is somewhat sad. His mom had rejected him, so he was shivering and cold, laying in some mud in the woods, and we found him, Adam Hansby said. He's the owner of AG Shooting. He's a miniature Zubu calf. After they nursed Cade back to health, Hansby decided to put him to work at the gun store. The calf's duties at the store include inspecting products, receiving snuggles, and just getting generally petted by everybody. The pet is a celebrity in Fairfield. He's available for pictures. You can pet him and cuddle him whenever he's in the store. You know, he brings in a lot of smiling faces and a lot of kids, the owner says. He gets the newer generation into stuff and makes the gun shop aspect a little bit warmer. Miniature Zubus are a rare and critically endangered breed of cattle. I've never heard of them. They come from out towards Oklahoma, and the state Oklahoma State University's Department of Animal and Food Sciences said that they're smaller than a black Angus, who can reach 1,000 pounds, but a full-grown Zubu is about 3.5 feet tall, and Cade will probably reach between 400 and 600 pounds. Cade's size will dictate how long he's employed, because sooner or later he's going to outgrow the cute cuddly stage. But the owner says as long as I can fit him into the car, he'll go wherever I go. Would that not be cool to walk in and see a cow or a calf running around the store? They had some pictures of him, and he's just running around the store. And, you know, I guarantee you that brings in a bunch of people. That's a marketing genius right there. Marketing genius.
And the idea that he's, like, cool with it, that he's into being the store mascot, like a big old pet.
Yeah.
That is great publicity, great marketing. I mean, who has a Zebu cow walking around the store?
Exactly. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Leave us a talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hey, Bob, Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. This is Carol from Oregon. And I was just laughing at your segment about how you know you're old based on what kind of emojis you use when you text. Because my kids get on my case all the time about me using the thumbs up and the smiley face and the heart or whatever. So for context, I'm 43. My kids are 17 and 15. And they have an awful lot of opinions about texting for people who are texting from the very phones that I pay for. So I'm with you on that, Sherry. And so what I decided to do was just kind of double down in the most nonsensical way with my texting emojis with them. So, for example, what I'll do is I will text them something and attach an emoji that is not remotely related to anything that I just said, just to kind of mess with them. Example. I hope you do well on your algebra test today. Snake emoji, hair bow emoji. I love you. Hope you're having a great day. Flag of Uruguay emoji. I will pick you up from practice at 5:30. salt shaker emoji, wooden chair emoji. And I usually get the eye roll emoji in exchange. However, I take that as a personal win. So what I would like to say to parents who are going through it with teenagers right now is that we need to remind these children that we walked so they could run. I played Oregon Trail game on a Commodore 64 computer in my parents' basement so they could have an Xbox and a big screen. And we will use whatever emojis we want. So thank you, rant over. If I had a mic drop emoji, I would use it. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Let's give her a round of applause. That was so clever.
Girl, you don't well need done. A mic drop emoji. Around here, we use the bullet train emoji, just any old which way we please, because we're also inspired by Bob.
And let me just say, I don't care what my kids say and eventually my grandchildren, I am never going to stop using the thumbs up. And I know it's a cliche. I was early with the thumbs up because it's one that ends conversations. Can we all agree on that? That the thumbs up pretty much says, hey, this is over. I got what you said, but this is kind of over.
Yeah. I think it does. You know, I have never used the thumbs up emoji.
Are you kidding?
I always have a measure of sadness with it because the thumbs up means it's over.
Yeah, you're done talking to me.
So I have another talk back. Just wait till the end, because on the one hand, you're going, I can't believe that this happened.
Hi, this is Stacy from Ohio. You guys were just talking about hee-haw. When I was little, I was a chunky little thing. And I don't know if you guys remember the little piggies that used to dance across the bottom of the screen on hee-haw. Well, my uncles and my mom and my dad, they used to say that I was a little hee-haw pig, and they would have me dance around. And my grandmother had this big portrait of all of her grandchildren above the mantle. And I was chunky, and they used to point at it and be like, there's our little hee-haw pig. But anyway, I forgot about that. It's pretty funny.
No, it's not.
I'm not chunky anymore, so joke's on them.
Yeah, fight the power. Fight the power, girl.
I was so horrified when I was listening to that the first time. But you know, you get to that great ending.
Yeah.
Shocked face emoji, crying emoji. I just can't.
Yeah. That's awesome.
How could they do that and then pointing to her with all the other children and calling her the little hee-haw pig? Oh, my God. You know, first of all, they're not exactly watching PBS. So, you know, who's really
Hey, don't
the
be a
smart
hee-haw
one
hater.
There.
No, be a hee-haw
not, you know, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm
little
not.
Pig, is that on? The little Anthony, Mr. Bob. I'm sorry. I got to point that out.
It was a little.
Hee-haw
yeah.
hater.
Yeah.
Hee-haw hater.
It was a little up.
No, I wasn't a hee-haw hater. I would watch hee-haw every once in a while. I mean, some of it was really
under duress while being handcuffed to a pipe in a weirdo's basement.
Listen, if George Jones were on, I'd watch him sing anything, and they would have, you know, some big stars on.
What?
For the hee-haw community.
Bob. Hey, it's
facepalm emoji.
Hee-haw's coming on. Everybody, get in the living room. While handcuffed to a pipe on a stranger's basement. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't
must-see TV, but...
Well, it was for you because you were handcuffed to a pipe.
Bob would tell the police, they tortured me. I had to watch Hee Haw.
Can a man not like Tom T. Hall? It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Every week, we're picking a cat lover to win our Catterday prize pack that includes a keepsake photo frame and a cat scratching box from Hide and Scratch. Enter now at bobandsherry.com. Hide and Scratch boxes are so cool. They let your cat curl up and give their claws a workout instead of them tearing up your furniture. Check it out, hideandscratch.com. You want to talk about getting choked up before the day even begins? He sent me this news story about a mail carrier, a U.S. Post mail carrier, who drove like almost 400 miles at his own expense to deliver these letters that had been written during World War II that were lost. Take it away, Max.
So he has a connection to this because he's a veteran, and he talked about why he did it, why it was so important. And this is KRK TV, and this is their report on it. This is very sweet.
Our story starts here, a post office in Grand Prairie, where a regular day at work turned into a mystery.
Well, I was getting ready for my route, found basically some letters that were dated back to 1942, so World War II.
These letters, some typed, some handwritten from a veteran. They didn't have an address, but they landed in the right hands.
Being a veteran myself, you know, World War II, and I'm like, man, this is like some history because, once again, mail brings boost morale for all soldiers. So my main thought was I have to find this family. That was
Alvin Gaucher had two clues, a military return address sent to Jacksonville, Arkansas.
My area is in Grand Prairie, Texas.
This week, Alvin's mail route took him a little off course.
Jacksonville, Arkansas. It was like a little mini trip.
To make this special delivery.
Hello.
Alvin contacted the NBC station in Little Rock to help him find the soldier's family and deliver the precious mail.
For me, it's a connection with my family.
Joanne Smith was just 2 years old when her older brother Marion went off to war and wrote those letters home.
And asked Joanne if she remembers me.
Her daughter Debbie is the family historian. The letters apparently fell out of a package addressed to her in Grand Prairie.
They had the name of the recipient and the address of Jacksonville, Arkansas, which if you have to think about it, in 1941, we were just a small community. And we got our mail like that, no problem.
But, well, apparently in 2024, you could get your mail like that, no
apparently so.
They're like my family now. And if it kind of like something like this happens next week, I will do the same thing again. Yeah.
You made mom cry.
In Grand Prairie, Noel Walker, NBC 5.
Oh, that's a nice
wow.
story.
Wow.
That really is. I had a similar thing happen to me a few years ago. I left our house when I was like 16 and a half. And so my sister is considerably younger than I am. And she was in the house a lot longer. And she acquired some things that I didn't have. Because I just, when I went out in the world, I was gone. I didn't take anything with me. And she had a pile of stuff that my grandmother had saved. And some of the things were from my father's experiences in World War II, fighting in Germany. And one of them was a letter to his mother on Mother's Day from the Battle of the Bulge.
That's just an amazing thing to have, you know? Yeah. Like, what a treasure to have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting choked up right now. It blew my mind. He had to be about 19, 20 years old, and it's, dear mom, I'm okay, and blah, 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 and happy Mother's Day. I hope you get this in time. I went, whew, holy smoke, where has this been? And now I have it.
That's one of the things that that's my great inheritance, is I have my grandparents' love letters from when my pop-up was in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
I love having that because it's like it's a time capsule, and it's a way of time mm-hmm. traveling. And also, it's like those letters that your dad wrote to his mom, that's a side of your father that you never got to see.
That is the number one takeaway, that you're exactly right. When yeah. I read it, it was not the guy who very often was kind of Yosemite Sam-ish. It was this guy that is in harm's way and still thinking of his mother.
I mean, and it's not because he was mean or terrible or wouldn't show you that, but it's kind of like you're, as a kid, you never really see your parents as all the way people. They're your
yeah,
parents.
True.
And yeah. then you get a document like that and you get a glimpse of who they are outside of being your dad or your mom or
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
That's really
They're real
cool.
people. Yeah.
Hey, straight ahead. Science is about to tell you exactly how much time you should spend sleeping, sitting, standing, and moving around. And, I'm here to tell you all of us failed. Let's see how you do next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
So you've heard the saying, sitting's the new smoking, right? Everybody's heard that saying.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can't sit. A lot of people have jobs where they like get in trouble if they're not sitting at their desk for the entire time staring at their screen. It's mm-hmm. just, it's so hard to be a human being. Well, science has come out with how you should spend your 24 hours. And I'm going to tell you what science says, and then you decide what you want to do about it. Science says, and this is a good one. Oh, how we laugh. Science says you need to spend 8 hours and 20 minutes every day sleeping.
I see study after study that says Americans are so deprived of sleep,
so
no matter what your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, we all would like to sleep for 8 hours and 20 minutes.
Great.
Lord.
That would be
yeah.
great.
Then you should spend 2 hours and 10 minutes doing light physical activity. That would be like, you know, I guess pulling weeds and, you know,
walking,
folding laundry walking. Or whatever. Oh, no, yeah. I think that comes into the next category.
Oh, okay.
Then you spend another 2 hours and 10 minutes doing moderate to vigorous physical activity. So that means for 4 hours and 20 minutes a day, your body is active. Half of it mm-hmm. in kind of, you know, relaxed sort of way, and the other half mm-hmm. in a more intense sort of way. Then you should spend 6 hours sitting and no more than that, 6 hours sitting. And then, and this is my favorite, because it's going to be really hard for a lot of people that don't have a job that requires this to pull this off, 5 hours and 10 minutes standing.
Mm.
Mm. So
I'm
for example,
about that, because with my Apple Watch, it tells me, you know, how many beats per hour my heart is going, whether or not my toe is throbbing. And one of it is standing. And I forget what the latest calculation was for me, but it was, I think, something like 4 hours. I was surprised.
Well, you have the luxury of being able to do a lot of standing and pacing and moving around while you work.
That's true.
Max,
yeah, yeah.
Max doesn't. And you would go, well, right. if I can, why can't Max? Because Max is in a small windowless room the size of a closet, surrounded by piles and piles and piles of equipment and a sleeping schnauzer. If Max stands too quickly, he risks toppling things and stepping on a dog.
It's true.
Max can only stand when he has to go to the bathroom. And I don't think Max has excused himself to use the restroom in 5 years. I just don't think he goes. I just have no idea. So
you started this conversation, and I had, because I've got a desk that'll go up and down.
Yeah.
I hadn't been up in a while. So you started this conversation. I went ahead and stood up. Now I've got, I'm going to stand for the rest of the time, I guess. But I should have been doing this for a while. You know, I don't do it like I should.
Five hours, 10 minutes.
Is that your old eating? Is that your eating table you converted to a desk?
No.
You have, that's very cool.
But yeah,
you have a desk that goes up and down.
Yeah, you hit a button and it comes up. Yeah.
Huh. It's the standing desk. Yeah.
I'm standing right now. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
like, I like to sit.
They asked a bunch of like regular people. How's it working for you? And one woman spends 12 and a half hours sitting, 2 hours standing, 7 hours sleeping, and 3.5 hours moving around, which sounds to me like Max's day, basically, because mm-hmm. he doesn't, if he stands up, like chaos could ensue. he doesn't
He's
have
in
the
a cat
option.
Pool.
Yeah. And anybody that goes, well, he needs to make the option. Well, thank you for that. And we all need to ride to the carnival on a unicorn. Some people, this is why I hate when these things get really like rigid and judgy. Some mm-hmm. people don't have the same option that you do. Right. They looked at a guy named Steven and he calculated his. He spends 14 hours a day sitting at his job because that's his job. 2 hours standing. He gets 6 hours of sleep a night and he's lucky if he moves around for 2 hours a day. And you can tell people, you can tell all of us, like, that's not good. That's not healthy. That's not good. That's not healthy. But if Max decides to stand up and start wandering, we don't have a show.
Right. Be still, Matt.
Come back.
Be still.
Be still. Come back, Matt.
I mean, for all I know, he hasn't had a drink of water since the lockdowns. Like, it just don't judge, right? You don't know. But that I'll post this up on Facebook. You can see it for yourself and see where you fall in on the perfect 24-hour day. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website. The Oddcast. Contest info. BobandSherry.com.
Ramazan Yilmaz went to a private dental clinic in his home city of Bursa, Turkey, and he was experiencing some serious dental pain. And after the examination, the dentist told the guy, he says, look, you got some loose teeth and a delicate bone structure, and the best solution is to take out your natural teeth and replace them with implants. Now, here's why I personally, I'm asking for a second opinion, but Yilmaz said, hey, I trust this guy. Let's do it right now. So things started going south from there. First, he heard the doctor tell the assistant that the tool that they normally use to insert the implant screws into the bone wasn't working properly. So he had to do it physically by hand. And so Yilmaz has to endure the pain of having the screws inserted by the physician. Now, as he attempted to place the screw, I heard this bone cracking sound, and he continued to force the screw. It pierced through my jawbone and into the area behind my eye where the brain and spinal fluid are located. As the metal screw pierced through the jawbone, Yilmaz was screaming, and the dentist realized he had a problem. After an x-ray, he could see that the metal screw was located near the brain, and it threatened to either kill Yilmaz or leave him severely disabled. The dentist put Yilmaz into his car and personally drove him to the hospital where the doctors had emergency surgery. Ramazan said, before the operation, they warned me that I could lose my life. I said goodbye to my children, but luckily I made it through the surgeries. Doctors removed the screw without any brain damage, and after a few days of recovery, Yilmaz was discharged. He tried contacting the dentist and asking for a refund and compensation of his medical bills, but the dentist refused. So the 40-year-old Turkish man had no choice but to go settle the matter in court. So I don't know how Yilmaz is doing, but he got the screw back out from behind his eye, and we have x-rays. We have pictures of x-rays, and we will post them. They're unbelievable. So be thankful today that you are not Yilmaz.
Yilmaz, get your mess out of that dentist's office. Jeez.
Never going to be right.
Hey, y'all have a great weekend. This is Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Enter our More Than a Mother contest at BobandSherry.com to win a beautiful necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry, a custom Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down, and mother of all mothers swag.
New Jersey school administrators are warning parents about another concerning social media challenge that can put kids at danger. The principal at the South Orange Middle School sent out a letter to parents about the blackout challenge that's on TikTok. The challenge involves students holding their breath until they pass out. And there have been some deaths reported as a result of kids participating in this challenge. The administration says these incidents are very scary. They're very avoidable. We will continue to warn our students about the dangers of the blackout challenge, along with all the other challenges that are promoted on social media, the principal said. The school reported two incidents of students passing out. Aid was rendered to one of the students by school nursing staff, while the other had to be transported to the hospital after having difficulty breathing once they regained consciousness. Hill asked parents to help by discussing the dangers associated with the social media challenges. And he said, we really need our families to talk with their students, talk to their children about the challenges that are out there and how they are not safe and they are not healthy. School leaders are planning to have classes and assemblies to address the latest concern. This incident has raised alarm bells. We're going to look into things that we need to do more and be more proactive about. It's definitely something that's not going to be pushed to the side. I got to thinking about this, and I can remember when I was in junior high school. I don't know who came up with this, but this is what we did. Someone would stand behind you with their arms around your chest, and then you would take 15 really deep breaths, and you held the last one. Then the person behind you would squeeze your chest while they picked you up off the floor and held you, and then you would lose consciousness. What? And I saw people do this, and I said, this is crap. Y'all are making this up. This is not. So the guy says, come here. So I took the deep breaths, and I'm thinking, this is so stupid. So I held my last breath, and then the next thing I knew, I had a heck of a headache, and I was laying on the floor, and the idiot dropped me when I went limp, and I hit my head on the blackboard tray that holds the chalk and erasers. I hit my head on the tray going down, and I'm laid out in the floor, and man, I come to, and it was crazy. So this has got to be
limited entertainment, I guess, in that part of rural Georgia, wasn't there?
But I see how this happens. It's a bunch of kids that get together. And, you know, when you put the word challenge, in there, there you are. And it's dangerous.
Was it the ice bucket challenge? Was that the first challenge that started all of these off? The ice bucket challenge?
Well, but that was not really hurtful. That was...
No, I know.
There was a marshmallow thing that was before the ice bucket challenge.
The cinnamon thing was before ice bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, ice bucket was the first one for charity, I think.
Yeah.
But how did it raise money for charity?
How did it raise awareness?
Maybe it wasn't so much money as it was awareness. Yeah. But human beings have been competing to be the most stupid forever. So
that is exactly right. When you see the word challenge, it does end in who is the dumbest, who will take it to the next level.
It really does come down to being dumb. You know that great scene in Animal House where the president of the university says to Belushi, son, going through life drunk and stupid is no way to go through life something like that.
Yeah.
Hanging out with your friends in high school and trying to pass out is no way to go through life or to learn. I mean, I just don't get it. There's nothing there. It's not going to help you in life. It's so stupid.
It's like eating the Tide Pod thing. What? How do you eat the Tide?
Because everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be on the internet and get likes. And what they don't realize, Lennon said it once. John Lennon said it. I've been to the top. I've been famous. I went to the top and it's nowhere. But people just think if they get all of these likes, you know, somehow their life is improved, and it's not.
Well, I'm so sick of people. I'm just so sick of them. What's wrong with these people? Get away. Get away. Yeah.
Call it out.
So straight ahead. Challenges.
Straight ahead. Let's see what the stars have in store for everybody with our Zippy Zodiac. This is Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
Well, last week was pretty good. Our show got nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame. So we took that. Yeah, our websites were maliciously attacked and Max almost had a breakdown. But we had some good news, Charlie. So I'm hoping that next week is even better. How's it looking for Aries?
This week, it prompts a review of your social intention. So you want to ask if your friendships are based on genuine liking or just some kind of convenience. So evaluate your relationships, especially if they're tainted by manipulation, even if you find out that you are the one manipulating.
Let me think about that for a second. That sounds like a fight starting to brew.
I don't have any friends that don't either have a pool or a boat or a mountain house. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right there.
For Taurus, this week is time to address if your professional journey resonates with your inner calling. And if it doesn't, brace yourself to let go of what doesn't serve you. You might find yourself moving in secrecy, like this covert undercover mission to find a new job position without letting anybody else know. For Gemini, life could become a little bit unsettled. This week could trigger some annoyance about something that you feel is being handled unfairly. So you're going to be much more cautious, and especially around others that you don't readily trust, especially when you sense that somebody has a hidden agenda.
I'm going to keep my eye on that. I'm watching. I'm watching.
He's watching, y'all. He's watching.
For Cancer, this week you are much more sensitive to all things toxic, especially food, news, environments, and people. So detach yourself from anything or anyone that feels unhealthy and instead focus attention on building your career and enjoying more wholesome activities. For Leo, the outlook with your relationships could seem a little bit bleak, making it challenging to be your shiny, positive self. But within this upheaval is an opportunity to confront the wrongful behaviors and attitudes that other people display. So expect a head-to-head confrontation to clear the air. For Virgo, this week is about free from a rut or feeling like you're stuck in a rut, whether that's a rut to do with your body or your job or just discovering radical new things regarding how you function. And this could be realizing that a few habit changes are needed to be made to do with things that you do that are getting in the way of your ultimate health.
Yeah, look at you getting out of your way. Or not. I mean, let's be real. How about Libra?
This week, you're presented with an opportunity to dismantle any personal inhibitions that are holding back your progress. And it's going to require the most courage you have ever shown, and maybe a little bit of audacity too. But it's just this reminder that life is shaped by your choices, and you're now ready to make more confident decisions in the name of your success. Scorpio, if you have been, let's say, caught up in some unfair, unequal blame game with others, then this week you become completely numb to it all. You process and digest all these life-altering changes that have happened in your home and family over the last 6+ months. And you kind of really decide that it's time to step back and detach and truly give yourself a moment to heal from it all.
Wow. Wow.
That's a lift.
Woo!
Big
boy,
lift.
But you're right on.
Now, you can't have any time off while you do that, though. Okay,
that's
we got
right.
a lot
yeah,
going
sure.
on.
That's all right. I know. This is the most important thing in my life. You know, work is more important than anything.
So, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Oh. For Sagittarius, you might find that your words are frequently misunderstood or misconstrued this week. And you notice that when you speak with strength and confidence, then people follow your leadership. But if you are too gentle, then they tend to kind of walk all over you. This results in some kind of adjustment. So you're going to really pick how you choose to engage with others based on their responses.
Okay.
Capricorn. So this week you are urged to reassess your material and emotional stability. So this is about finding ways to ground yourself internally, because this phase is really going to set off challenges within both of those areas, material and emotional. And something very big and very personal crops up. And it's not to do with the future, but it is to do with something from the past that you already thought that you left behind, but here it is creeping back into your experience.
I have a restraining order on him, Charlie. I just can't have him creeping back in. We're done. We're D-O-N-E done. All right, how about Aquarius?
Aquarius, this week is a moment of personal reinvention. Another one. You're going to be going through plenty. You feel a boost of power with this very long healing process, and it can result in a swift change of life direction. You pivot once again, and others find it really difficult to keep up with your ever-changing preferences and constantly adjusting life plans. And for Pisces, this week delivers a clear, clear message for you to prioritize self-love, to let go of any feelings of unworthiness or guilt, and embrace self-love first, because it's essential to love yourself before seeking it from others. And with this comes some alone time, which for others is usually painfully boring, but for you is going to be a complete blessing to be in your own company.
We have definitely had worse weeks, don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, we've definitely had worse weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Bob's getting out of his way. Max is in hell. You know, like, not everybody's going to have a great week, right? But we're, a couple of these signs look pretty good. Yeah. We'll get this posted pretty up good. At bobandsherry.com, and we'll share it on over to the Bob and Sherry Facebook. And we hope that you have an awesome week, Charlie, and we'll see you back here next week, same time, same place. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Hi, Lamar.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing fine.
I lived, when I got married and moved away from home, I lived about 90 miles away. And so you try to go down to visit maybe once a month or so, but it would never fail every Sunday morning, and we didn't have caller ID. So the phone would ring, and I'd pick it up, and it would be my mama. And she'd go, hello? I'd say, hey, Mom, what are you doing? Sitting here looking out the window thinking y'all might be driving up. I said, well, Mama, the fact that you're talking to me and I'm still laying in the bed 90 miles away, she goes, I know, but I was just hoping. What's your plans for the day? And this conversation would go on for probably 30 or 40 minutes.
And if you didn't have any really concrete plans, which sometimes you don't on a Sunday, it was like,
man,
you have no reason not to be there with your mama.
Man, I was coming up with, I was having heart surgery. The house was on fire. I mean, it would just be, and after a while, I'd be sitting, if I was sitting in the living room, I'd be sitting there, and I'd just start sinking down in the chair. And my wife would be sitting across the thing, and she'd be dying laughing because I'd just start sinking down in the chair. Sometimes while I was talking to her, I'd take my hands, I would act like I was hooking up TNT to my chest, and I'd push the plunger. I'd take my hand, and I'd make my finger out like a pistol, and I'd pull the trigger to my head, and it wouldn't go off, and I'd keep spinning it like I was playing Russian roulette. I mean, this happened, and she'd be another head going, I hadn't been feeling all that good. I mean, there was, and here's the next thing. About halfway through the conversation, she'd go, you remember Betty Ann? I go, yeah. Goes, she got cancer. There was never a good news phone call.
Oh, my God. Just, and you have that image of her going, I'm looking out the window, hoping to see your face.
And I say, well, Mama, why don't you drive up here? It's so far to drive up there. I said, well, it's about the same distance from here to there, from the, you know. But it just seems so much fun.
Yeah, it's uphill.
Yeah, I mean, she would just suck the life out of me. And, you know, and it would almost be like I should just get up and go, because when I get off the phone, I have no desire to live, much less do anything else for the rest of the day.
You know, driving to South Carolina to Georgia is quicker because it's downhill.
Yeah. You know? And what I would do is I'd wait about 30 minutes and I'd call my brother, because he lived 90 miles in the other direction, deeper into Georgia. Uh-huh. And I'd wait about 30, 40 minutes, I'd call my brother, and he'd go, oh, God, I just got off the phone with her. Because she would call us both. And so what we would try to do is we would go down the same weekend because, yeah, I'd get to see him, and we always have a lot of fun, you know, and it would be a lot of fun. And sometimes Mama would drive, we'd both get there, and she'd go, you know, it'd be better if y'all would get on opposite weekends. I said, but Mama, you got us all together. She goes, I know, but she said, next weekend, there won't be nobody here but me and your daddy. And you know he's going to be passed out in the chair.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Lamar.
I mean, she would just kill you.
Give it to us again, how what you would hear, the first thing that you would hear.
Hey, what you doing, Mama? I'm just sitting here. I'm looking out the window thinking y'all might be driving up.
And you got the visual. You got the visual, don't you? She's in her house coat.
Oh, the Lord. Sad thing is, if you could call Pugsley right now, that's what he would say.
I know. That's right. It is.
It is.
Well, thanks for getting me up, Cher.
It is awful. Here's the deal. For everybody that's listening to this and you getting that same phone call, My mama's been gone for a long time, and I'd give anything if I'd have got it in the car and went a few more times. I really would.
Well, between my dog and what you just said, let's all just have a big old cry. God, give me a break, y'all.
Bye, Lamar.
God, mamas and dogs wishing that you'd come. Give me a break.
You know what? I know what she was doing, too, because I know her. She's got a pretty devious mind. She was setting this up so that when she did finally pass away, the guilt would just eat me alive. wherever she's at in heaven, and she's sitting there playing cards with some other woman that's making her kids feel guilty, she's going, oh, yeah. It's killing him, right?
That's right. That's right. It's what they do.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Since 2020, there have been more than 500 reports of killer whales attacking sailing boats as well as some fishing boats and motorboats in Southwest Europe. Orcas were recently spotted circling a ship in Spain for the first time this year. The group is made up of 40 orcas who live off the coast of Spain and Portugal, as well as the Strait of Gibraltar. And some of the orcas have been approaching and occasionally attacking the boats. The orcas have sent at least 3 other boats to the bottom of the sea. Thankfully, Whoa. No humans have been injured or killed. But just a few days ago, 3 of the orcas were spotted swimming near a large yacht in northern Spain. The killer whales did not attack the boat, but people have been warned to take caution when passing through. This is an absolute lack of knowledge about why this is happening. One of the scientists said, you know, in recent years, one theory is that a female orca known as White Gladys had a traumatic encounter with a boat, changing her behavior towards boats and something other orcas have picked up on. So evidently, they copy each other's behaviors. One group developed the short-term trend of carrying a dead salmon on their heads, and then a bunch of other orcas. See, they're just like teenagers. It's just like watching TikTok. Yeah. All the other orcas are putting a dead salmon on their head. I mean, you know. Some experts have warned that orcas are simply being playful rather than attacking the boat. Well, I guess if an orca is being playful with you and you're in a boat that's not very big, it could be bad. But keep your eyes out for the ones that's got the dead salmon on their heads, because they're troublemakers. They are just troublemakers copying other troublemakers. It's the dead salmon orca gang is all I can figure. But
that's such a wild detail.
I didn't know they were attacking boats like this.
Yeah, they are. Wow. And sinking them. Not just like a playful head bump. They've scuttled a few. Yeah.
That whole salmon thing, I just thought I would die when they said, oh, yeah, one of them did it, and everybody else started copying. I want salmon on my head. Oh, my gosh. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.